This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Munch Madness is presented by Factor. Mitch, eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes.
Wags, when I want to eat easy-to-prepare, delicious meals, you know what factors into my diet?
What's that?
Factor.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
What are you
waiting for? Get started today and get after your goals.
Wags, Factor has two-minute meals. Fuel up fast with Factor's restaurant-quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. Pancakes, smoothies, and more. Discover a wide variety of easy options for the entire day, like breakfast, midday bites, and more.
You said pancake smoothies. I was like, I'm in. And then you added more. I was like, are you kidding me?
Now we're getting out of control.
No prep, no mess meals. Factor meals are ready to heat and eat, so there's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup needed. Flexible for your schedule. Get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Plus, you can pause or reschedule your deliveries anytime.
Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. And sign up and save. We've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. And Wags,
Munch Madness is presented by Factor.
So what more reason do you need to try Factor?
Head to factormeals.com/doughboys50 and use code doughboys50 to get 50% off. That's code doughboys50 at factormeals.com/doughboys50 to get 50% off.
Thank you, Factor. We love you.
Thank you for presenting Munch Madness.
Thank you for presenting Munch Madness. We love you.
The following is a free preview of Doughboys Double. To get a bonus episode every Tuesday, subscribe at patreon.com/doughboys. Welcome to Doughboys Double. I'm Nick Weiger alongside the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell. Mitch?
Yes.
This is our final episode before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
We've got Thanksgiving coming up in just a couple of days. As of this record, it's coming up in a week. Mm. But as of this release, it's coming up in 2 days. We're on Thanksgiving Eve.
Gobble, gobble to you all.
A gobble, gobble to you, my good boy.
And gobble, gobble back, my friend.
Mm.
Thanksgiving greeting.
May your cornucopias be filled with merriment.
Mm. Maybe they be stuffed full.
Ah, yes. Gobble, gobble.
You know, we're kind of like, as podcasts, we're kind of like the podcast version of tryptophan in so many ways. We'll put you to sleep.
We love all our Patreon subscribers who use the show as a sleep aid. You know, whatever works for you. For me, it's putting on sunglasses 30 minutes before bedtime and taking a little melatonin.
It's very strange.
I've
seen it in action.
It may be strange, but it works out.
Carl Tart thought you were doing like a big long bit.
We were staying in Airbnb together and I put on sunglasses like after we did the show. I got home and put sunglasses on and he thought I was just doing an unfunny bit.
He never even said anything or laughed and just thought you were being silly by having sunglasses on.
Yeah. I mean, he was watching me do unfunny bits for like a full week while we were touring. So he just took it in stride.
Nick, what are your Thanksgiving plans?
Nothing. Nellie and I usually take it pretty easy. We just do a thing for the two of us because our family's all local. And so we see everyone in a month anyway. We're all in Southern California. So we usually just have a little dinner we make together, which is fun.
That's nice.
So I guess that's not nothing. I'm having a lovely meal with my lovely wife.
Do you make the turkey?
No, I don't make the turkey, but I don't make anything.
She makes the whole meal?
Or we go out.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, but it's fun. We have a great time. We have a lot of fun. You know what? One thing we always do, there's an Indian restaurant by us that we always go to for lunch. We have like an Indian Thanksgiving lunch, a vegetarian lunch. It's a nice like little pre-meal before the big indulgence.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm you know what? I'll say the way that the place I'm going to, oh God, I'll say the way I'm.
What are you doing?
I'm going to Disney World for Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. You know when people say that, like, after they win the Super Bowl, they don't go into a Mickey voice.
They don't.
Uh,
I'm going to be in Disney World for Thanksgiving, I believe.
How exciting.
Mickey shall be carving the turkey.
Yes, as is tradition. Mitch, we have a wonderful guest here. Before
That's
we do
right.
that, we you know a little another change up in the record. We've
That's
got
right.
You know Emma and Yusong aren't here. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Marissa from HeadGum is here. Hi, Mars.
Hi, how's it going?
Doing great. Do you have any Thanksgiving plans? Oh, wait, you do Canadian Thanksgiving. That's your jam.
So my Thanksgiving was last month. However, I think what's become a tradition for me is now going to Gabers' live Power Hour.
Oh God, I'm doing that. I'm doing that tomorrow as of this episode is coming out.
What are you going to reveal? You said some weird stuff.
Yeah. I do
every
have
time you've done it.
I do have a tradition of getting very drunk and then saying a secret. I think this is the time I finally show everyone my Terminator arm. Have a knife at the ready.
Man, I was telling you that.
Yeah.
On this thing, I was in Atlanta shooting the Tomorrow War. This guy, there's a guy in the movie who was in Terminator 2.
Is this is it a stunt performer or a character actor?
I think both.
He's both because
Jim. If
you look up this guy's IMDb, it's insane because he's in like Titanic, Terminator 2. He's been in like every big movie for like 30 years. Just one of these amazing character actor careers.
And he's the guy that John Connor gets Arnold. He tells Arnold not to beat him up.
Oh yes, yeah.
He's cool as hell.
And he has a cool stunt in that sequence.
Yeah, he
it's
does.
Like
cool,
yeah. The fuck, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he rules. He's cooler than you are, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I just want to let you know.
I mean, I'm not insulted. This guy's just cool.
Yeah, he's cool. He's very cool.
And you know what? Who else is cool? Our guest today. From Netflix's Love and Don't Stop or We'll Die, Paul Rust is back in studio. Hi, Paul.
Oh, hi, guys. It's so good to be back.
Oh, man, we love having you.
Thank you for having me. Mitch, why Disney World?
Because my godfather's son, Neil, my godbrother, he's going down there for Thanksgiving. He has kids. And we're going to hang with Ronan and Mia down in Disney World.
Fun. Ronan Farrow and Mia Farrow. That's nice. And I didn't know you guys were on a first name basis. That is weird that they're both named Ronan and Mia.
I never thought about it till you just said it.
Maybe,
I don't know how.
I don't know if you're going to Disney World or Egypt with all those pharaohs. Yeah. Boo, boo.
Who was booing? Someone was booing. That was weird.
Who was that?
That was weird.
I think it was Mitch's neighbor.
Rex? He was playing music earlier. Marge, you heard it. It was playing for a while.
Do you think it's as long as we're having fun with people's names, do you think it's Rex from Star Tours? Speaking of Disney World, Rex.
DJ
was
Rex?
DJ Rex.
Oh, yeah, DJ Rex, yeah. Is it DJ Rex from Star Tours?
Well, he turned into DJ Rex now at the cantina.
Oh, that's how they're using him. That's mm-hmm. the new capacity he's mm-hmm. employed in. Yeah.
Paul Rubens, who...
That's right.
You wrote the new Pee Wee movie with Paul Rubens.
Yeah, and he gets a lifelong pass to Disneyland, to Disney World. For
Does he really?
That's yeah. amazing.
Lucky guy.
That's so cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, the perks of being a Disney voice. You guys got to get in on that.
Yeah. Do you think that I could?
I could be the voice of Gaston. Hi, I'm Gaston. Look at my veins. Right, that's muscles.
That's good because you got Gaston. Mitch has Mickey. So you guys are set.
And all those Gaston and Mickey adventures that go on.
One of the first roles I ever played in my life was LeFou.
Oh, you told me this. Yeah.
Oh, for what? For LeFou?
For Beauty and the Beast. For my, for Raise the Curtain, the summer theater camp, of course.
Oh, yes. Raise the RTC.
Yeah.
And I wasn't embarrassed when I went into the dining room and all the basketball camp kids came in and we all ate together. And they're like, what are you here for? And I was like, I'm playing LeFou.
It is funny that college campuses in the summertime become places where camps for math kids.
Yeah.
And camps for... possible starting athletes both convene. It's such a funny, I mean, it's like college, I guess, in general. It's just
I never really left like I never went home for summer when I was in college. I always either like worked a job or like took an internship or something like that. And so my first year between first year and second year, I was like kind of near campus and I was around that. And I had some friends.
It was in California though, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
What was I going to do? Gonna go home? What was I going to do there?
But I'm saying like you were home.
Yeah, I mean, I'm home, but I'm not home.
All right, fine.
I was not living at my parents' place. That's what I'm saying.
Cooler than me, I went to the University of Iowa, and I'd go back every summer and sleep in my little basement of my parents' house. So right on, Weiger.
No, but I was going to say that makes... See, that if there had been more of a distance and it wasn't like such an easy trip for me, if it wasn't like an hour or 15 drive for me to get home from UCLA to Lakewood, California, although my parents actually ended up moving... to San Pedro after I moved out. Immediately they were like, we got to get out of this cursed house.
And they try to
cursed house.
Something's wrong with the child we raised here.
And also they try to lose you.
Yeah.
They moved out and then didn't tell you.
No address.
And you just showed up one day. Hi. Yeah. Well, he's back. He found us.
I went back to my childhood house and there's like, there's no Weigas here. This is an old time malt shop. There were like summer camps that would go and stay in the dorms there. And I was living in an apartment off campus, but I had friends who were like living on, they had a few designated dorm floors for people who like still lived there. And these high school kids would come and they were so fucking horny. They were like just fucking each other all the time. Like these camps were just like fuck camps. And I was like, I was outraged. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't
approve of
that. I
disagree with them being fuck camps. And to correct you,
if I had been there, I would have created some sort of bubble that would have like an electronic robotic bubble that would have lifted me above campus into the air. And I'd look down at the kids and go, tisk, tisk.
It's a Dr. Manhattan move.
Yes.
We should stop. And they all stop.
Wow.
Dennis Cooverman told us to stop. It's 2003 somehow.
To correct you, it was actually my high school, my future high school that we did the camp.
So you were in middle school going to high school.
I was in like maybe elementary / middle school. It was,
oh,
I was
that's
very young.
Fine.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I would say in the best years of your life are the summer times between.
I agree with that. Yeah,
they feel like they last forever. 12 weeks feels like it goes on for an eternity.
A day feels like a lifetime, and a lifetime feels like a lifetime.
And then you go back to school, and it feels like so much time has passed. It feels like things are completely different.
That sounds like you're just quoting Boys of Summer right now.
Liger, you were the ghostwriter on Boys of Summer, yes?
I'm just saying... The other day, I saw a Bosefi's sticker on a Cadillac.
A what sticker?
I don't know. What was it? What is it in the original
a
song?
Deadhead sticker. But what did you say?
Bosefi's?
What is Bosefi's?
I said different. I think that's from a Primus song.
Oh.
All I could remember is the Atari's cover. They said Black Flag sticker, but I knew that wasn't what you were referencing.
Oh, that sucked.
Yeah.
But there was a emo band that covered Boys of Summer in the early aughties.
Yeah, that was it. That was the Ataris.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's what you meant. I'm sorry. When you said Atari, I thought you meant you played an Atari game that had that song on it. If I had never gotten that clarification, I would have.
The most advanced Atari game that plays Boys of Summer.
Yes. They said Black Flag. Yeah. Yes. You're right.
Have you ever guys ever heard the Atari 2600 Ghostbusters theme? I wonder if I can find it.
No, I'd love to hear it.
It's so fucking bad.
Isn't that what it sounds like?
It's like worse than that because it had like one. Let's see if this video even has it.
I thought the Nintendo one even sounds like that. Sounds accurate so far.
And that's it. It's like a Nokia ringtone.
That was from Ray Parker III.
Paul, so speaking of going home, do you go home for the holidays? Is that normally your... I know you're a family man now.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas it?
Do you Jonathan Taylor Thomas it?
You know, that's funny that I would mention Jonathan Taylor Thomas around the Thanksgiving holiday because my first year in LA, I'm not using this as a way to back in into an anecdote. This is true.
Right.
When you said home for the holidays, it made me think JTT, and then it made me think, when have I ever had any JTT crossings in LA?
Mm-hmm.
Don't get your hopes up. But once on a Thanksgiving night, my two friends and I, we were like, oh, let's go out to eat. There's no places open on Thanksgiving night. So we went to Mel's Diner.
Oh, yeah.
On Santa Monica.
I like Mel's.
Yeah.
One of Rip Taylor's favorites, RIP. But Rip Taylor would go there all the time.
Mm. Yeah. RIP. Mm. Taylor.
Mm-hmm. he would have liked that.
He'd throw up a big bucket of confetti right now.
Rip Taylor ruled.
He was, yeah, so, was such a funny, cool weird dude. Guy. Yeah. Yeah. He's great at the end of Jackass.
Oh, he's great into the Jackasses.
Yes. Hey, let's hear for Rip Taylor. He's great.
He's awesome.
Yeah. But when we got out of Mel's Diner, we saw like a hot Corvette with the license plate JTT.
Whoa.
Wow.
And my friends and I automatically assumed, wrongfully, Jonathan Taylor Thomas is probably a huge asshole who drives around with his initials on his license plate on Thanksgiving night. It's not true.
Yeah. Why,
he doesn't seem like that guy. But we followed the car for many blocks.
Wow.
In hopes of like getting next to him and being able to look at JTT. And he drove, whoever it was, drove off too fast and we couldn't catch him.
Wow.
My friend Nate was out here for, my friend Nate was out here just visiting, Nate White.
Did you just call him Nate?
I call him Big Brother, honestly, if you want to know what I call
really?
Him.
Yeah. Wow.
And
like the 1984 way. So he's monitoring you.
He's a good guy. He's a great guy. And his wife Jackie, and I was like, that's Tom Arnold. And he was like, oh my God, that's Tom Arnold. And then he went to take a turn to like go into the gas station that Tom Arnold was in and got sideswiped. And the rental car was like destroyed. And then we pulled into the gas station because the car was destroyed. And the guy was there, not Tom Arnold. And the guy was like, I didn't see anything. That's what he said. He's like, I didn't see anything. He got into his car, the Tom Arnold guy.
No one was hurt, though, it doesn't seem like.
No, we were fine.
Okay, great.
Did your friend say, my wife's... is the name of your fictional sister-in-law, Jackie.
Did he say that?
Yeah, no, of course he did.
And did Jonathan Taylor just say, that's good?
Tom Arnold was very,
Tom Arnold, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas Arnold is what those two stories are. That's the before and after Wheel of Fortune.
The Wheel of... before and after is... Wait, is it before and after Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune?
I thought it was only Wheel of Fortune.
I thought so too, wow. But they might do it on both.
Oh, because possible. I bet it's a category that's before and after. Yeah. And it's like, this home improvement child star likes to fuck Roseanne's second husband, Jonathan Taylor Thomas Arnold.
He likes to fuck Roseanne's second husband.
Man, I watched the most embarrassing, and we could talk about other things, but I got to tell you, I went down a hole on YouTube of really the most embarrassing. I'm like blushing thinking about it, like a home improvement. Like, do you remember they would do this thing that it was like, now we're going to bring out the Tool band and we're going to play a song. And it was like, Talking Heads like burning down the house.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Oh man. It's more embarrassing than anything you could imagine. Don't watch it.
Okay, I won't.
Tom Arnold is a nice guy, by the way. He held the birthday boys out in later times.
That's right. Yeah. He invited you guys to do this show.
Yeah, we did some of those Sunset Boulevard clubs. We did the Laugh Factory and the all those with Tom Arnold.
Always a tough environment for anything but stand up in those venues.
Bob Saget was mean to me.
Yeah.
Because we did the sketch, we did the ropes and underwear where we come off stage naked. And he was like, huh? And he kind of was like, oh, that's like what you're going to do to get a laugh. Kind of, it wasn't those words exactly. But
oh, Mr. Filth himself?
Yeah, I know.
The clown prince of dirtiness is wagging his finger at you guys from his big ball.
Yeah.
And Steve-O was there and he had just started stand up that night. I remember it was a very strange night. I was going to say that I could maybe get into Disney for free because I look so much like Heimlich from Bug's Life.
The big caterpillar creature.
The big caterpillar. Yeah. And then also I have this wagger to play. This is the nest. That's the Nintendo version.
You know, there weren't a lot of NES games with any sort of digitized speech, so that's not bad.
Whoa. Oh, so you think that's good? Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I think it's good.
Skate or die.
Yep.
Die. That was the only other vocalization I knew of.
Yeah, even up until through the 16-bit era, wasn't very common.
Hmm. And then all of a sudden you turn on Sonic and Sega comes on and blows your socks off. Mm-hmm. I was pissed. I was pissed that day.
Because they won the battle.
They won the battle.
It was like seeing Sputnik orbiting above the North America. You're like, oh boy, look at that flashing light.
That some Russian dog named Sonic was floating around.
He's going to die up there. He's going to die in his floating tomb, but it's still progress. You know, that's what happened to that dog.
He died.
Yeah. They sent him up there. They knew it was a one-way ticket. They're like, we're going to send this dog up there, and he's going to be up there until he runs out of oxygen.
Yeah, that was from a commandeer cat. Meow, meow, send him up now, meow, meow. Let me do the blast off, meow, meow.
The thing with commandeer cat... is if he could just cut the meows out of his speech.
Yeah, he's a very bad spy.
I mean, it's impressive that he can talk at all, so I'll give him a pass on the occasional meows.
Oh, man.
Oh, but I didn't answer your question. I've never gone back home, I don't think, for Thanksgiving since I graduated high school.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, like in college, I would live a real Dutch experience. Remember the movie Dutch?
Of course, with Ed O'Neill.
Right.
Yes. And everybody goes home for the holiday and he sticks around. Maybe more of a Halloween H2O kind of experience where the kids all go off from the academy.
Yeah.
Then they hang back.
That's during Thanksgiving, right? Is it or no?
No, it's during Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That would be quite a twist if a Halloween movie was set on Thanksgiving.
I was Googling Thanksgiving movies. And I thought that like a weird horror movie like that came up. Thanksgiving Killing.
Thanksgiving, yes. It would be an interesting twist if one of the Halloween movies was like, well, we made it through that Halloween safe and sound. And then Mike Myers like just chills. Michael Myers is and comes out, pops up at Thanksgiving. And then that's when everyone's like freaked out.
That reminds me.
And he's wearing a big turkey mask. Yeah.
My friend DJ
Tanner? I don't know.
No, I would never do that to you.
It was DJ Rex, clearly.
DJ Rudin. He was so funny once in high school. I saw him and he was like, oh, I watched Judge Dredd last night. Judge Dredd was on TV. I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, yeah. And, you know, in the beginning, they showed Judge Dredd like solve one case at the very beginning to let you know he's good at what he does.
Right.
And then he was like, then he went on his little Judge Dredd adventure for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. And then DJ said, I thought it would be really funny if after the big adventure was over, after that was done, he just solves one more case like at the beginning. And now anytime I watch any movie where they show the first 10 minutes, like this is what he does and he's good at it. If like the last 10 minutes was like, yeah, and he did it again. What are you worried about? He's good at his job.
Like if that was the end of Minority Report, he just gets one more Minority Report.
One more pre-crime prime solved.
Well, we've got these. We've got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, but you know what? We're not too far from Christmas, and we've got a Christmas-themed Slurpee we're going to taste test here. Let me get the name of this one up.
Because the day after Thanksgiving is basically Christmas begins.
So that's true.
The Christmas Slurpee is going to be on everyone's lips.
And this Christmas
Slurpee. And everyone's
Slurpee,
list. Christmas list.
And this Christmas.
Imagine if you woke up Christmas morning and you unwrapped a gift and a Slurpee was in a box.
Just loose Slurpee fluid.
It's too loose.
Thanks,
that's the kid.
Step parents.
What? We filled it up this morning.
My stepdad is Matt Besser.
Right, Danielle?
This is Merry Mashup Mountain Dew, a limited edition holiday dew in Slurpee form. So I've got one big Slurpee with three straws.
I don't think the pilgrims are bringing this to Thanksgiving, okay?
You know what? That cadence reminds me that because you brought up Dutch, there is a Dennis Miller joke from the MTV Movie Awards that stuck with me. At one point in the show, he just sort of like goes in between presenters and is just like, breaking news, Dutch is now available on Laserdisc.
I love when really terrible jokes that those comedians have likely forgotten.
Yes.
Have lodged into the brains of the person listening to them. The one I always think about is Paul Reiser did Clinton's inauguration.
Oh, yeah.
92 and then 93. And he was like, hey, what, the president gets his own theme song? This is the only guy who gets his own theme song. I'm doing Jerry Seinfeld as Paul Reiser. He was like, it's not like the dentist has his own theme song. I am the dentist. I'm here to pull your teeth out. All right. So we remember jokes. That's all I'm trying to say.
Dick Gebhardt just sitting there stone faced.
I did get my teeth pulled out today.
I called into Dennis Miller's talk show when The Birthday Boys was coming out, and I did a bad job, and he like didn't like me. It was
a
strange
promo.
You had to be like
his radio show.
His radio show.
What were you supposed to do?
You were on like as yourself.
I was on like as myself. Yeah.
So and they were like, he was like Mike Mitchell from the Birthday Boys.
Mike Mitchell
Boys.
From the Birthday Boys. So tell me a bit about it. And then I was like, it's Bob Odenkirk producing. He's like, how is Okie Dokie Kirk? That's what he said.
That's great.
And I was like, he's good. And then he was like, what do you think about like the Red Sox this year? And I was like, well, I think that they have. And I like went into like a big wrong rambling thing. And he was like, okay, babe, see you later. Hung up the phone.
Now let's talk about the urgent need to renew the Patriot Act, baby.
Paul, we're going to let you try this Christmas Slurpee first.
Yes, please. I'll do the blue straw.
Paul, like Mitch.
Mitch acted like he got mad that I took the blue straw, which is very funny.
It was funny. Like Mitch, you are I'll let you take the sip, but I'm going to ask a question while you're sipping. Like Mitch, you are a good Catholic boy. do you go to church for Christmas?
Wow,
Or did you still? Okay.
Yeah, I was expecting you to ask, do I go to church? I was going to say period, but it's actually, do I go to church? Question mark. I do. I go back when I'm back home. We go to a nice darkened church for Christmas Mass. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing, I had a priest who my oldest sister Amy and I would always laugh at. Not always, because it only happened twice. When I was in my early 30s, but he would go, Christmas is about the passion, the raw, hot passion of Christmas.
What the hell?
He's like, we get all lost in the gifts, but it's all about the passion. I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah.
I've said it on this podcast before, but it was right after Spotlight, and the priest was saying that we have to support the priests in their time of need at the last Christmas Mass I remember going to. And I told you that Big Jim Ryan led Micah and Scoop out of the church, and he was pissed off during the Mass.
That's great.
As a sign of like, hey, we're not going there.
He was like, let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah. And they left during the Mass.
Wow. It was tough as a person raised Catholic to have any sort of critical opinion about the movie Spotlight.
Right.
Because it seemed like it came from a defensive position.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
My wife's Jewish and she was raised Jewish. And so after we saw Spotlight, I was like, I just thought they could have given a stronger female character. It's like, what 23 years of
I'll tell you. You want to hear
Catholic upbringing to my scene right now?
You want to hear my thoughts on Spotlight? It's more fantastical than the Lord of the Rings series.
More fantastical.
These nice priests.
Okay.
No, it was a monstrous story to watch.
Yeah,
yeah.
It happened right near me too.
It was well done. It was what was the movie that came out right after? There was a Spielberg made a Spotlight about something else. What the fuck was it called?
Lotspite.
Oh, that's
Lot. He made Lotspite.
And it was about a parking lot that had
Spite?
Some anger issues.
Yeah, some really mad parking lot. It's voiced by Paul Giamatti.
Sounds like a Christine sort of movie.
It was kind of, yeah.
You're talking to The Post.
The Post, that's what it was. Yes. Yeah, The Post. And I, you know what? I really like a newspaper movie.
Yeah.
A movie
well,
about.
We texted about our love.
Yeah.
We were talking about the paper. Remember the three
of us? The paper's fun.
Oh, yes.
Newspaper movies are, it's always, because it's always like pursuing a story and there are real stakes, but they're also like, it's not, it sometimes can be life or death if it's a journalist, you know, pursuing, depending on the story they're pursuing, but it always feels like there's urgency behind it. I like it.
I wonder if it's, I started this with the lilt of comedy, but I'm making a true point that I wonder if like journalism stories that are interesting because as someone who writes in the media, to see that experience elevated to like, ooh, this has actual stakes. It's not just I go in and I write some jokes.
Right.
It's like, ooh, it's kind of fun to see what if this stuff had a...
What if my work had any consequence?
Well, I mean, all those people suck because their work has consequence. We hate them because their work has consequence. It's fun to be silly.
It's true.
But the reason we were texting,
yeah,
and let's just get this out on the table before we get in the podcast, because I think we need to clear the air. On Halloween night, you guys were texting some silly jokes to me.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe the first time I've ever, in front of either of you, I've ever gotten a little hot under the collar. And it was just a text. It was, you didn't even have to see my face. I think I wrote, "Guys, I love you. But I'm trying to give my daughter a bath and it's been a long Halloween."
Yeah.
And then like 2 days later, I looked back at the text and I felt so bad.
But it wasn't even impolite. It was totally reasonable. Like it was fine. Like we were just.
Can I have it pulled up. Can I tell you?
Yes.
Can I tell you what Nick and I were talking about?
Yes. Yeah. Get the transcript.
So imagine me trying to read these texts and open my phone with a wet finger, but I can't.
Your daughter's been probably hyped up on Halloween candy.
Yes.
An exhausting night.
I said, 365 days a year, I pray to God to grant me Beetlejuice's powers. And Halloween is the day it just gets rubbed in my face that it's been 37 years and I am powerless. And then Weiger said, "Beetlejuice is gross." And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "He's cool, but he's gross. Like the mask is just cool."
That's
and I
true.
Said, "Okay. Oh, okay, because why? Because he farts?" And he said, "I mean, yeah, he seems smelly and unclean and gross teeth. He's probably got bad breath."
I bet Beetlejuice has bad breath.
And then I said, "He's dead, dude." And he says, "That's an explanation, not an excuse." And I said, "Yeah,
it's true."
And I said, "The mask's breath smells like roses." And then I did an eye roll emoji. And I said, "Also, the mask isn't cool." And he said, "Sure thing, Mitch." And I said, and I did say, "Sorry about this, Paul, about Nick."
And then you said, "You noticed a lag in my reply response time."
And then Nick, you said, "He loves it and he's on my side." He's texting me separately. And I said, "I don't believe this. Paul loves Beetlejuice. I love him too, but he's gross. I can love a gross monster. He's cool." And then Paul, you said, "Guys, I love you, but I gotta stop. I gotta I got a kid screaming in my face in the tub. And my fingers are too wet to text.
My fingers are too wet to text."
And then Nick said, "LOL, sorry, buddy." And I said, "Sorry," with the gritting teeth emojis.
Both of those texts are burned in my mind of, this is what happens when you send an angry text to your friends.
Well, then you did
it. And then Mitch texted me separately, "What the fuck is his problem?"
And then Paul, you said, "Hey, dude, you texted this later, like a week later. Hey, I want to circle back and say I'm sorry." And then we said, "No problem, dude, but you still haven't weighed in on who is cooler."
And I still didn't.
And then you said, "Between Beetlejuice and the Mask, I'll just be safe and go with everyone's favorite, the Shadow."
Yes, funny joke.
Good choice. I really wanted the Shadow to be good, so I like kind of willed myself into thinking that it was good.
Both the reason I chose those, they were both summer of 94.
Right.
We were in the Mask or the Shadow. Remember, everywhere, kids were like, "Whose team are you on? Team Mask or Team Shadow?" Everybody remembers that summer.
You know what? I was just thinking about that is difficult to convey to young people is just how huge in the 90s the Addams Family was.
Yes.
The Addams Family was so fucking popular. It was like the Addams Family was like Batman. It was like on the same level.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They made two Addams Family movies that were as big as the two Batman movies.
And the first one sucked.
The first Addams Family?
Yes.
I think it did?
Interesting. Oh,
well, that's how I felt, guys.
I haven't rewatched it. I like the second one.
One's really good. Yeah. And when I, in the theater, my experience was, oh, this first Addams Family isn't good. Huh, I'm kind of let down. This was really built up for me. And then the second one I saw, and I had a grand old time, the box office disagreed. The first one was a hit. The second one wasn't.
Second one wasn't a hit?
Yeah.
Oh, I was convinced it was a huge movie.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's, I know that the Super Nintendo game was good.
Yeah, the pinball was good?
No, the Fester's Quest. The side scroller.
Oh, you're thinking the side. I was thinking of Fester's Quest, which was the overhead one, which might have been for NES.
I played that side scroller for Super Nintendo quite a bit.
Yeah, and then have you played the pinball? The pinball is good.
Yeah, the pinball is a good game. That I have played Fester's Quest.
Yeah,
the Addams Family when it came out a couple years after it came out, our gym teacher. Did you guys ever have the experience of like a teacher starts talking to your classroom? And you can tell they just got done talking to other teachers that they're kind of like warmed up and now they're talking a little bit more, not like dirty or loose or anything. It's just like they're a little bit more friendlier. And I remember a gym teacher like started off the gym class being like, "Who remembers the Addams Family?" And we're like, just came out as a movie a year ago. You're not aware of this. So we'll just sit here and pretend this wasn't recreated as a movie. But then he was getting all the details wrong. So, and we knew they were wrong. So he was like, "And who remembers?" And he put up his hand. And the name of the hand was Thing.
Yes.
And he went, "Who remembers? Hand." We all looked at each other like, nobody's going to correct them. Well, this stuff dovetails to Garfield because the greatest confusion ever by one of my teachers.
I love this. I know this and I love it.
I feel like I probably said it on Doughboys before.
You may have, but people will love to hear it again. And if they haven't, they'd love to hear it for the first time.
Did we use it as a reference on Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show?
We very well may have.
Yeah. So this might already exist, but real quick. In junior high, I had a science teacher. And I had an English teacher who had a picture of Garfield with books tied to him. The poster said Garfield was saying, I'm learning by osmosis. And the joke was like, I'm tying books to me so I don't have to read them. I could just learn by osmosis. And then our science teacher was teaching us osmosis. And he said, it's, you know, osmosis. It's like the poster in the other room. And we're like, huh? He's like, you know, with the books. And he starts laughing because he thinks the poster's funny. And he goes, the little orange kid. The little orange kid with all the books tied to him. We're like, Garfield? He thought Garfield was a little orange kid. So apparently I was educated by some real pop culture illiterate teachers.
I hate to guess this, but that man's dead now, right?
No, I think he's alive.
He's still alive? Yeah.
Wow.
But it seems like only a man that clueless would have to be like 92 years old when he said that to us.
Even in a mental hospital talking about the orange kid.
Snored kid, I tell you. Strapped to books. Here's my thing. The thing that really puts that story over the top for me is that even if you don't know Garfield as an intellectual property, how do you look at a drawing of Garfield and not know that it is a cat? What about him is childlike?
Ears, yeah. Whiskers.
Naked? Do you think it was there was a naked boy holding books?
I like your line of thinking with this, Wagner. Let's think of what made him think that was a child.
Yes.
And I'd like to think my science teacher, when he grew up, his neighborhood best friend was a naked orange kid with whiskers.
And a tail.
And a thick tail. He's like, that's an orange kid. My best friend.
That no good boy in his tail. Well, the Slurpee was bad. We never really said it.
Oh, I liked it.
To me, it just tasted like cherry.
It tastes like a machine.
Mm. I just to me, it just tasted like cherry. It was
sound
it was
Linda
like
Hamilton after her first date with the Terminator.
So she went on a date with the Terminator?
Yes.
And she kisses the Terminator?
Yes. Judgment Night was originally Terminator 2 Date Night. I liked it. I mean, it's a little watermelon-y.
Yeah. To me, I just tasted cherry icy. Is there a watermelon element?
I couldn't tell what the flavor is supposed to be. It's just tastes like Slurpee.
It's very ambiguously just merry. It's not like anything identifiable to me. It's just red.
Turn my tongue red.
Huh? Yeah, it definitely has some. It
your tongue was black. Black as night.
My tongue is a snake now.
Beetlejuice.
Sorry.
My breath stinks. That was his catchphrase.
Beetlejuice is cooler than the mask.
Yes.
I think that Beetlejuice is better than the mask. But I think as far as like a cool dude, I think the mask is cooler.
The mask isn't cool.
I think if Beetlejuice,
as a friend, you'd want the mask. You'd want to bring the mask to a party.
Right.
I'd rather bring Beetlejuice. He's funny.
But people would be like, who's this weird smelly guy?
With bad breath.
Yeah.
So people say that about me. I'm cool.
Beetlejuice is a perfect film, though, huh?
It's really good. It's really great.
The mask is a piece of shit.
Yeah, the mask isn't great. Although it does star Cameron Diaz, my high school alumni.
Yeah.
Whose name you say strange always.
I think I say it normal.
I would trust you above anybody.
Oh, how about that?
Man who went to the same school as her?
If Laura Dahlke from my high school had become a hot big movie star, and everybody was like, Laura Dahlke. I'm like, Laura Dahlke. I knew her.
Did you know Cameron Diaz?
No, she was much older than me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she was older than my older brother, too.
Hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Now, she was 19 when The Mask came out. And that movie was, she's a good amount older than me.
Did your brother go to school at the same time as her?
No, I think she was older than my older brother.
So she would have graduated 92, maybe?
It sounds about right. Hmm. Yeah. Maybe she was older than that when The Mask came out. But no, she had been like, there were stories of her being there, but that she wasn't.
And now she's retired, which I think is real cool.
Is she actually retired from acting?
I think essentially, Julia Roberts did this like 10, 15 years ago. And then the big one is Audrey Hepburn.
Oh, yeah.
Was like, or the big, big one is Grace Kelly, I guess. Where somebody goes, you know what? This kind of sucks.
Right.
I'm going to go spend the rest of my life wearing nice clothes and
enjoying myself.
Yeah, enjoying myself.
Mm. You know who I liked who did that? The actor who played Andy Sipowicz on NYPD Blue.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is his name?
Dennis Franz. Yeah. I just watched his, for some reason, I got into like Dennis Franz's last scene on NYPD Blue and I watched it. I don't think I ever watched a full episode of NYPD Blue, but it made my little lower lip tremble. It was very moving. Just in the 2 minutes I watched it, I was like, oh God, Sipowicz is moving on.
He's a good actor.
Oh,
he's
very good. Best.
What was his how did his character arc resolve? Like, did his character die? What happened?
He explodes.
But he plays it super real. It's just like super.
Yeah, you believe it.
Yeah.
I think I'll be moving. It's just a giant explosion. Oh, and there's like slices of pizza on people. That freak was eating pizza before he came in here.
And then they did this weird ABC tie-in where the pizza landed on Urkel and he was like, just enough cheese. It's like, oh God.
It landed on Urkel.
It landed on Urkel and he said, just enough cheese.
So Family Matters started exactly at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it takes place in Chicago and NYPD Blue takes place in Chicago.
Should we try these holiday M&M's?
Yes, so we have another holiday snack we're going to try again.
I had a peanut M&M earlier, so I'll be able to.
Oh, boy.
Actually, I don't think Paul should be able to taste them anymore.
I think he can give us an unbiased take.
I don't, in the same day that he's had peanut M&M's?
Yes, I think he.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, I was wrong.
Oh, it's stinging.
It's burning.
It's burning all my tongue.
Weiger.
I forgot that M&M's, it's like the time cop principle where you can't have two of the same thing in the same place at once. If you've eaten an M&M earlier in the day and you have another one, matter can't occupy the same place.
I just
had
one M, but then I had a second M. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't like these. I hate mint.
These are holiday mint
M&Ms.
Yeah,
mint's not that fun.
Mint sucks. And I think I've said it on this podcast before. Oh, you want me to eat candy? Oh, it tastes like toothpaste? Thanks a lot, dickless.
I agree.
This isn't good. I mean, I have some mint chocolate combos I'm okay with. I do like a good mint chip, but this is not a good execution of it.
Nope.
When you're saying dickless, are you speaking specifically to the M&M guys who are dickless?
I checked.
M&M guys actually all have cloacas. So
what's that?
You know, the bird like organ that's a dual purpose for urination defecation.
Humans should have that too.
Yeah.
Maybe just put it all in one tube.
Give me one orifice. Mm-hmm. If I could pee out my butt and just have my wieners just for like nothing.
Oh.
For nothing.
For nothing. Yes. That's what I meant.
Nothing, honey. Yeah, leave it to God to put a recreational facility through the sanitation. Burp, burp, burp. I heard a guy say that in college. I was like, fuck you, you're not my friend. He was also the guy who, after a play rehearsal, we were walking back to the dorms. And he's like, oh, it's almost 10. That's good. I still have time to make friends. I was like, what? And then he meant Friends comes on at 10 o'clock. So he still has time to make it to watch Friends.
Oh, no.
But truer words have never been spoken.
This guy reminds me of me.
Yeah, that's
what did you were always trying to make friends?
Yeah, but in the
college?
Real way.
With snowmen. You'll be Rachel. You'll be Ross.
It was Ithaca. I've said this to Wagner before, but I remember at orientation, I was with like a group of guys and we didn't go to like the orientation thing, which I just should have gone. But afterwards, we all went outside and like the leader of this group of kids I was hanging out with, like went up to a girl. They had like glow sticks, like glow necklaces. And he's like, can I get your glow necklace? And she was like, sure. And then like every other guy did it. And then I didn't have one. And they were like, Mitch, you're going to do it too, right? Like, are you going to ask a girl for the... And I was like... And it was that moment where I was like, I'm not friends with any of these people anymore. And I never hung out with them ever again.
Camp's good for that reason, though.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you get the
camp. It was college.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was my freshman orientation of college.
Previously, I mistook college for camp. And this time, I mistook.
You got your camp and college mixed up.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Isn't that the fucking dorkiest shit on earth?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know people doing that sort of shit is kind of like, all right, you're trying to do
it. It also sucks. I heard Norm MacDonald talking about it. He was like, Larry King was like, Norm, you must have been the class clown. And Norm MacDonald was like, no, I tried to make jokes and nobody laughed. And then I'd look at the guy who was making jokes. I was like, he's hack. He sucks, right? And I was like, that's probably his experience for most people is.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure.
You're constantly surrounded by unfunny people.
Well, yeah, because it's like
they are.
The class clown in... You know, in middle school or whatever is just like, all righty then, you know, just like referencing other
hilarious.
Things is really good. Okay. So let's talk about Garfield's Thanksgiving.
But should we rank the Slurpee in the
quit bullshitting and talk about Garfield's Thanksgiving?
We have some business to take care of here.
Let's quickly rank the Slurpee in the M&Ms just for, cause I need to.
A Slurpee is better than the M&M. Slurpee 1, M&M's 2.
All right. But then I was going to say, should we give them, I don't know, turkey feathers or something?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. I'll say the we'll give these Christmas themed snacks turkey feathers. I will give the Slurpee 3 turkey feathers and the M&M's 1 turkey feather.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2.5 feathers for the Slurpee and half a feather for the M&M's.
Wow.
And this is on a scale of 1 to 1 feather.
Yeah. What? How many out of 1 feathers?
Let's say 1 feather for the Slurpee and 1 feather for the M&M's.
All right, great. So if you're maintaining the turkey feather spreadsheet for Doughboys, go ahead and update your rankings there.
Today's episode of Doughboys is brought to you by Helix. Wags, I've had a Helix mattress now for 6 years, maybe 7 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. It was pre-pandemic. I know that much.
Man.
I know. And you know what? My sleep has greatly improved. I love my Helix mattress. It's like a cloud. Wally and Irma sleep in there together. They love it. They don't want to leave the bed.
Cute.
I don't want to leave the bed. Probably bad for you. You know what? Anytime I'm late here, blame it on Helix.
Wow.
I'm sleeping away.
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Everybody is unique, Wags, and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night, which is a problem for me. I heat up.
Problem for me, too. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's the perfect combination of comfort and support.
Wags, I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Moonlight Lux mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and soft, just like me.
Wow. And not only is the mattress the best you've ever slept on, but the setup was fast and easy, as you were telling me. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free.
You know what? Ross Kimball helped me set it up. Good guy, Ross.
Shout out to Ross. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15-year warranty, depending on the model.
And now Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/doughboys and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Helix Partner 20.
Mitch, did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? You know, before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 10 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for more than 15 subscriptions each and every month. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about.
Wow. Wags, Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. Doughboys Patreon, the Doughboys Double, bye-bye.
Mitch, I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you themselves, Wags.
Wow. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Wow.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/doughboys.
Do it.
Hey, Mitch, this ever happened to you? You walk into a store and you're like, oh, I'm going to get myself a bottle of wine. But what the hell do I get?
Wags, it happens to me all the time. I get wine anxiety. I don't know what the hell to do.
That's why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that seamlessly connects you to the finest independent winemakers on the planet, so you get a box of the market's best quality wines however often you'd like for a fraction of the price you'd normally pay in stores.
How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard-to-your-door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in-store. By cutting out the traditional retail middlemen, costs, and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
As a result, you'll get exclusive access to hundreds of top-quality, award-winning wines at huge savings, making Naked Wines perfect for any type of wine drinker.
Wags, I got sent a box of Naked Wines, and you know what? It was delightful. I had a few people over the Oscars. I was popping reds, popping whites. Everyone was satisfied.
Yeah, you know, they sent over a Chablis, they sent over a nice Burgundy, they sent over a Chardonnay, sent over a Cab Franc, they were all winners for me. Me, I personally like the Cab Sauvignon they sent over. The wine is so good, and it's such a good deal.
They told me they were sending over a Burgundy, and I said, uh-oh. You ever see Anchorman?
Yeah, you worried it was Ron Burgundy, but no, it was the wine. Naked Wines has been around for over 10 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers. With no commitments or membership fees, you can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And the best part, every bottle is a passion product from an independent winemaker, so you are literally making an independent winemaker's dream come true.
Wow. So head to nakedwines.com/doughboys and click enter voucher in the top right when you get to the website and put in doughboys for both the code and password to get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included.
That's $100 off and less than $7 per bottle. That's nakedwines.com/doughboys and use the code and password doughboys and grab 6 bottles for just $39.99.
One last time, that's nakedwines.com/doughboys, code and password doughboys for $100 off your first 6 bottles. Do it.
So Garfield's Thanksgiving was released in 1989. I thought this was older than it was for some reason, but this came out.
Yeah, I've heard that before. I thought this was older.
Mitch is drinking more of the Slurpee.
And chasing it with those M&Ms. He's dropping the M&Ms into the Slurpee.
They won't go through the straw.
Directed by Phil Roman, written by Jim Davis and Kim Campbell.
Directed by Phil Roman.
Phil Roman.
I mean, they do the Simpsons film,
yeah,
Roman.
Is that the, I wondered when I saw Roman, I wondered if it is the same Roman.
It's
is
very possible. It would be.
Oh, wait, it was directed by Phil Roman?
Phil Roman, yeah.
Oh, from Film Roman.
Oh, so Film Roman must be its own.
Oh, weird.
Little yeah. joke.
Yeah, could very well be the case.
The first couple seasons of Simpsons, I think it was the Rugrats people, the Cuscusby, I don't know how to say their name.
Oh, yeah, Glasby Cusco.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and then they were like, you know what? These Film Roman guys seem to be a little bit more on the ball.
Yeah.
So they went over to them, right? But so
that's when I sound like this, Homer Simpson.
Hey, Homer. How's Lisa doing at school?
Oh, Mo, she's beautiful, but Bart's always bothering her when she's trying to practice her saxophone.
Oh, homie, let me get you a beer on the house.
No, not tonight. I gotta go back to Marge and be a good dad.
Sam Simon's up in heaven. Laughing.
I wrote that.
He brought my characters to life.
Why is he watching Doughboys?
Well, that's interesting because John Hine had a very, you can look it up, like a fight with Sam Simon, because Sam Simon was like, Hine, how dare you do a show about fast food places?
Right.
You're encouraging people to eat unhealthy. John Hine comes back hard and goes, you created Homer Simpson. How can you even argue that? Mm. But anyway, I thought, don't get Mitch and Weiger in the same room with Sam Simon.
Mm, yeah.
That's why I murdered him. Make sure that would never happen.
So
I think I have an idea of why he'd be watching Doughboys.
Uh-huh.
He probably gets alerted any time about anything that's dough related.
Time to tune in to the Annoyed Grunt Boys.
And it's actually based on the old World War II fighters who were the Annoyed Grunt Boys
yes, yeah.
who fly the planes, right?
So World War One infantrymen, I think we're the Doughboys.
Yes.
Speaking of which, we're getting into Garfield here.
Yes. Speaking of which, that'd be a good name for a podcast about sandwiches.
That's true.
That is true.
That'd be great.
Or maybe you guys have a little segment about sandwiches called Speaking of Which.
Oh, I think we just came up. You just came up with it.
I think I just came.
Question mark?
Get your dick out of your mouth, Wagger.
All right. Jesus Christ.
My first question, my first note that I wrote down was John in the military?
Why?
Private Arbuckle!
Because there's like weird, like, I mean, like Garfield tells Odie, like, he's like, come on, soldier. There's just weird things in the beginning where, and I was like, is John a veteran? I didn't know if he was a veteran or not.
He's a veteran.
He might be. What era would, I don't know. He wouldn't have been in Vietnam. He's like a little too young for that.
Can I say?
No, I think he would have been Vietnam.
You think so?
Yeah, I think after he came back, after doing a tour in Nam, he got Garfield and Odie to acclimate him back into.
It makes sense. So
if he's like 40 in 1989, then yeah, he might have been in Vietnam.
It makes sense. The theme song to Garfield is All Along the Watchtower. My second note is Garfield wants coffee? ?
That's a key attribute to his persona. Garfield does like to drink coffee.
He likes human food.
Yeah, in the same way that he likes lasagna.
You know what's crazy? So
because he said pancakes, more cake, less pan.
Right.
Was one of the lines.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure everybody who's listening to this watched the show, so it's boring for me to repeat quotes.
So the episode starts off, and Garfield sees on the calendar that there's a vet visit.
Yes.
And then he makes Odie eat that calendar page because it's today. He's supposed to go to the vet.
Yeah.
And then underneath it reveals that tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Blew past a couple of details, which is one, that Garfield wakes up John, who's sleeping in his bedroom. Then John breaks the fourth wall, turns to Cameron, says something, does not do it again.
Oh.
And then Garfield, before he's about to kick Odie off the table, and he says this line before he sees the vet calendar: it's time to abuse the dog.
Wow.
That's not a play on anything.
No. Just violent. Yes, go on.
I just want to quickly say, you're going to say he goes on to check the calendar?
Yeah, he checks the calendar, takes the Wednesday. Wednesday has a vet visit, takes it off, and the calendar says Thursday, and then it's Thanksgiving, and that's how that's established.
I just want to say that after I saw that, I pushed pause. I went over to my calendar, and every day that I'd written in, the cats have to go to the vet, there were little bite marks. Wally and Irma had bit their vet days out of the calendar.
Oh, but they've been missing their appointments.
So this must be a cat thing, I found out.
Oh, boy. And you've been preparing all these Thanksgiving dinners mistakenly.
Where are Wally and Irma?
They're in my room in cages.
Oh, good. do you have a kinship with John when you watch it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Cat
owner, yeah. Cat lover.
And like, as like, we're both dumbasses.
I was shocked watching this, how dumb John is.
He is a true dumb fuck. He is extremely stupid.
Wiger and I were texting a little bit, and we both hate John. I mean, I hated John.
He is stupid. We were talking about Homer earlier. He is stupider than Homer.
He's dumber than Homer.
He's very stupid.
He is very stupid.
Like, he's not just like an absent-minded guy. He is truly just like dumb as shit.
And why does he get away with it? Let me guess why he gets away with it. Because he's so fucking hot. Oh, he's a fucking stud, and Homer's a little bit overweight, so he's a dumbass.
Yeah, John Arbuckle's a fucking dime piece, and so he gets away with murder. Can have an empty head just because he's so fucking sexy. With that fucking,
you know, guys like John have it so easy.
God, if only my nose was a thin slit on my face.
And my hair slowly turned into black curls at the bottom. No, John sucks.
Yeah.
And he's dumb. And I don't think I fully appreciated, like, when I was a kid, I knew he was, like, a loser.
Right. Yeah.
But, like, his level of loserdom, is he the best foil for Garfield?
I mean,
Garfield needs to be sardonic and put somebody down. So, of course, his owner needs to be somebody who's constantly giving him opportunities to put him down.
Right.
But I feel like John could still have an air of sophistication that Ed Garfield could still get his.
Yeah, if it was like a Frasier type, then it would be, you know, because yes. he could be like a stuffy sort
That's
of
better.
Guy. But here he's just like a truly stupid guy who you kind of feel bad for because he seems like he's having trouble even functioning on
it
his
It would
own.
Be better if John was like a Frasier type, somebody who took himself too seriously
right.
mm. and Garfield kind of takes the wind out of him. Because otherwise, it just seems like Garfield, in a term that I'm sure was rampant in 1989... is punching down.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. Well, so after the...
And Odie should...
Foot up.
Yeah. Odie should be evil. Odie should be... I'm trying to fix the Garfield here.
Yes, Garfield should be... Or no, Odie should be toxic.
Toxic.
I kind of like that. I think Odie being happy-go-lucky kind of works because
it
is
just... Oh, come
on. Well, I do. I think like he's also just a dog.
I can't fix Garfield.
No, I don't think your fix is necessary. I don't think you need to note Odie.
Fine.
I don't want to fix Garfield and Odie. I want them to have kids and have more Garfields and Odies.
Fine. Normal. I just got.
Oh, what is quote unquote normal?
Do Garfield and Normal ever get it on?
I mean, Garfield has a girlfriend, Arlene. So I don't know if he fucks Normal. I assume that he fucked Arlene.
Okay, easy.
And Odie.
And Odie.
Wygra, I lied to you.
They're a it's a throuple situation.
John and Odie.
John and Odie.
And Garfield.
John is peeking over his sheets that he's seeing Garfield fuck Odie.
I always knew this episode was going to devolve in some sort of Garfield is fucking John. I just wondered when it was going to happen.
He's peeking over the blankets watching Garfield fuck Odie. And saying, I hope I'm not next. And he raises the blanket back up over his head.
So he shows the calendar to John. That reminds John that they have to go get groceries. And that goes in the main titles where you hear this theme, which I actually, it's a little corny, but I kind of like it.
Wygra, I told you that I didn't like the intro song.
Uh-huh.
And then Ooh. In my notes, I have written down, I like the intro song.
Well, here it is.
Go to the grocery store to get lots of good things to eat.
I'm with you.
Do the mashed potato, do the candied yam, do the funky turkey, cause it's time to jam. If you don't wanna dance, baby, that's alright. Do some non-stop shopping, work up an appetite. Make your Thanksgiving one long meal.
Vocals by Lou Rawls.
The more you eat, the more grateful you are gonna feel.
Bad message.
It's a the more you eat, the more grateful you feel.
Yeah.
Keep feeding that monster.
This is a real. This cold open is indicative of how little happens in this special.
Yes,
because a major plot point is they go to the grocery store.
I will say the story terrain that is covered in this episode is very narrow.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They don't do anything.
they go to the grocery store.
Yeah,
and then they have a car full of groceries.
Right,
and then Garfield's like, "Where are we going? We're not going home." And then John's like, "We're going to the vet." So that's the whole thing of like he remembered to go to the vet.
Yeah.
And then it goes out of the car and it shows the car on the road and Garfield screams and the car goes all around the road.
Yeah.
Why was the car going nuts?
I think the idea is that Garfield was disrupting John's driving. Like he was like clawing at him or something like that. And
okay.
The car was steering erratically. But it goes to that top down like Grand Theft Auto 1 point, you know, perspective.
Yeah.
And
then John gets out and he pulls another guy out of his car. And he takes the car.
He goes from one star to three stars. Cops start chasing him. And so they go to the vet's office. There's a nice little Easter egg here. The U.S. Acres pig is in the vet's office.
Oh.
Obviously, you caught that. Yeah. And then
it's roasting. It's kind of fucked up.
And then he goes to talk to Dr. Wilson, a.k.a. Liz, his crush.
You can only she's looking like you can only see the top half of her head.
Right.
She's oh god.
Okay, sorry, you're helping me. Yeah,
secluded by a fence. And so
do you think? Yeah, Dr. Wilson probably wears one of those the mouth cover surgery.
That makes sense. Yeah,
things.
Yeah, he would. He'd have to.
Doctor's
what was
mask?
Wilson's job?
Doctor.
Volleyball.
What?
He was a volleyball.
You know my joke of in Castaway, anytime Tom Hanks would scream, Wilson, Wilson, the shot would get ruined because his wife would walk out and go, what, honey?
Onto the island?
Yeah.
It's funny because she's a professional actor with like a lot of credits. You'd think she'd understand that he was talking to another character. But just she had like a mental block in this case.
I thought you were going to say, it's weird. She's an actress with a famous, like, they should have made it, not Wilson. They
should have been Spalding or something. Yeah.
And then lo and behold, Tom Hanks marries Jim Spalding. Okay, I don't know. Who cares? Who cares?
So John asked for a date immediately from Liz, the veterinarian.
This is very strange.
She's yes. skeeved out. And then there's
can I just quickly say please. Also, like, why does John like this vet? She's truly a miserable person.
She's very mean.
She never shows him any sort of, she never shows a nice side to him. She clearly is not interested in him.
She reflects back to John how he sees himself.
They do look exactly the same. All the humans do look fucked up.
They do.
Have like weird cat faces
and
in
mouths.
This world.
Little mouths.
But this episode turns into John wanting to fuck like we thought it would. It's John
he's
is
very horny.
But I don't understand. He goes on and he holds his breath until she says she'll go out with him.
Yes. And when he's holding his breath, his face looks like a butt and his mouth looks like a butthole, which I think might have. I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but it looks a lot like butt cheeks. Like he's got big butt cheeks and then like a little butthole mouth and like kind of a crack, too, because of his nose. And I think that was probably an animator like sneaking something
they knew.
In.
Mm.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
They were slipping on the CBS airwaves.
She says yes.
Yeah, she.
And he lets go of his breath. And then also you quickly see a log of shit come out of his mouth.
Yeah, she agrees to go out with him. But here's the thing. He invites her. This is a first date scenario.
Yes,
he invites her.
I thought that too.
To Thanksgiving.
Your first date is Thanksgiving.
She doesn't have other plans. She's going to this guy's house.
This is insane.
It's wild.
Also, it's Wednesday afternoon and you haven't made your Thanksgiving plans yet.
Yeah, what's going on?
This is
on?
Insane. John is an idiot and she's an asshole.
Yes.
These two maybe deserve each other.
Gone with the wind. That's the
that's true.
Of Gone with the Wind.
That's true.
Then maybe it is a good couple, but I immediately I'm not liking anyone. But Odie is a good guy.
So I guess Garfield in 1989 was already doing what prestige television is doing today. Complicated characters you sometimes find unlikable, Mitch. What is this, Garfield or a madman?
I saw Uncut Gems last night.
Oh, mm. I heard.
And
I saw Neil today and he said I saw Mitch at Uncut Gems last night.
And I met Adam Sandler.
Very cool.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Neil told me he had a very funny joke.
What was it?
The Safdie brothers were like, we offered Uncut Gems to him in 2012. And then he was like, but I was doing a little movie called Little Nicky. I was like, oh, that's very funny. It's not true. It was just the funniest title to say. But you got to meet him.
I got to meet him, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was it like?
He was great. He was really nice. And I told him I was in love.
And with him?
I told him, I said, I'm in love with you just by meeting you right here.
You pulled a John Liz and then you held your breath.
And then I woke up in the hospital. I told him I was in the show Love. He was very nice.
Yeah.
He was very nice about it. He was
I met him once. He was a cool dude.
That's so cool.
He was very cool. Yeah.
Love it when a celeb is just a normal person.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So many are just fucking weird. So Garfield also, as part of the scene, is told that he's overweight and he has to go on a diet.
Mm.
So he go
heard
they
that
go
before.
Home.
You heard that Garfield had to go on a diet.
So he goes home, he gets half a lettuce leaf to eat, and Odie is appointed, this is another military thing, Odie is appointed the diet monitor. He has a whistle to notify John when Garfield breaks his diet.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and then we get to the talking scale sequence where
I was going to say, this is the funniest segment in the movie. Yes.
It is. And it's like 5 minutes of a 22 minutes special is Garfield communicating with a talking scale.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah. And so they go on this long run because Garfield stays on like the scale has like an AI. It's like a Siri.
But then also imagine.
This is in the comic strip.
Yes,
the talking scale
is part of it. Part of the lore.
The talking scale is in the comics.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And I also thought that was a pretty. They didn't stick to it, but it is a funny premise. Garfield has to go on a diet on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
that's a juicy funny idea.
It's a good premise.
That's a good idea
that they almost immediately abandoned.
Yes. Also, because John cooks horrible food.
Yes.
So it's kind of Garfield be. This isn't upping Garfield's desire to eat more.
Right. It's not like he got invited to Liz's house and she's preparing this amazing meal that he's going to.
And it's like, but Garfield, you can only eat half a left.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say this. They say, the scale says, judging by your weight, you're Orson Welles. Mm-hmm. And then she makes fun of him and calls him Orson Welles. This was 4 years after Orson Welles had passed away.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So like
interesting.
So like a 9-year-old boy was watching this special with no awareness of who this guy is, and then they just spend all, like, just a long run of Orson Welles reference.
This 9-year-old boy who's a huge fan of, like, the Magnificent Ambersons. It's like, yeah!
Does Orson Welles have grandchildren?
Is there a chance
that his grandchild was watching this special and saw a run on how his grandpa, his recently dead grandpa, is fat?
Yeah.
That's funny.
No way is my grandpa as fat as Garfield.
The thing that they did that joke then at the end, the talking whatever starts at the end, Garfield crushes it.
He stomps it to death, yeah.
And then as it's dying, it goes Rosebud.
Yeah.
Which, you know, because they kept referencing Orson Welles and Citizen Kane. I thought this machine's commitment to the Orson Welles joke of being like, even with my last dyed breath,
yeah,
I'm going to get Garfield with my Orson Welles joke. Or I thought the alternative is they have their own personal Rosebud.
Mm.
And it wasn't a reference to Citizen Kane. It was just like at the end, it was like
something meaningful in the scale's life.
Yes.
I like that theory.
Maybe they had a friend, Ro, had some really good weed. Rosebud. Okay. Grow up.
So some more bullshit happens. There's some madcap sequences with Odie. What were you say?
I don't know. Roe versus Wade. Is that the Roe?
It was all about who gets the stickiest of the ickiest.
I was just going to say that Garfield is going. Garfield goes to the jars.
Yes.
And the jars are labeled cookies.
Yeah.
Sugar, flour, salt.
Mm-hmm.
And Garfield opens it up and Odie pops out of the cookies and then he goes to the sugar. This makes sense. Maybe I just want some sugar. Odie pops out of it. Then he moves on to the flour. Mm-hmm. Odie pops out of the flour jar. And then he goes to salt. Then Odie pops out of the salt jar.
Because Odie's job is to keep, he's kind of like the security guard.
He's to keep Garfield from eating, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
While he's on the diet.
So John is a dipshit and he's going to try to, and he's annoying me with how he's cooking. He says the turkey has to be buttered. He puts butter on his hands.
Yes. Well, it says like, you're supposed to butter the skin. He's like, okay, I'll do that. And he butters his own skin because he doesn't understand it's the turkey skin.
Yeah, he's got some real.
He's a barely functional man.
Amelia Bedelia syndrome.
Yes. He doesn't have enough time to roast the turkey that he's frozen, so he puts it in for 500 degrees instead of 350 degrees.
Ma! Hey, come on, guys.
Oven fries.
Ma, set that turkey to 500, Ma.
Get your oven fries merch at tpublic.com.
Jesus Christ.
And get your Garfield merch at pawsinc.com.
Check that out.
If you guys are interested in Garfield and want some merch.
He completely fucks up dinner. Here's the
thing. I always thought it was PawSync.
PawSync?
You thought it was PawSync? You didn't realize it was Paws, comma, Inc?
Yeah, I thought it was PawSync.
You're okay. You thought it was a
like a little
a plumber. likes animal feet.
So here's what I want.
The last 30 minutes, please.
I just want to say something real quick, because we were talking about text we exchanged, and when we texted you earlier, Paul, to do the show, you replied, "I just want to let you guys know, I guarantee there won't be any silliness." And I don't know if it's not just on you, but I don't feel like that's been followed.
I just want to say Garfield tries to sabotage Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And then he adds garlic to vegetables, which seems like a good idea.
I don't get it. He's like, if I can't enjoy Thanksgiving, nobody will. And then he dumps garlic powder on the unseasoned vegetables. Like, that'll make it better.
Okay, yeah. So here's what
Thanks,
I think.
Thanks, Garfield.
Can I give you my explanation?
Yeah.
Garfield thinks that John and this vet are vampires.
He thinks they're Draculas.
Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
I think so. Because there was that... This actually works because there's that scene earlier mm-hmm. where John and Liz say, "Let's look at ourselves in the mirror."
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Uh-huh. And then Garfield and Odie stand there and watch them and they don't see the reflections in the mirror.
There's also the, because when Liz is like, "I'll come over for Thanksgiving," she's like, "I hope you're not serving steaks." And then they wink at each other. And then John is like, "To be clear, we're talking about wooden steaks, right?" And she says, "Yes, that's what I meant. The weapon that would kill us."
Well, one thing this episode definitely didn't have was steaks.
You're not worried about the stakes of whether Garfield gets to eat a meal?
Well, I'm going to say this, that if you think that John is a Dracula, it is cleared up moments later when he has a speech about being a man.
Yes.
He gives Garfield a speech about being a man, and then he cuts himself shaving. It sucks.
Can I say also, at 2 o'clock today, from 2 to 4:30,
mm-hmm.
I went and saw Marriage Story, which was great.
Oh yeah.
But then to come home a half hour later and sit down and watch Garfield's Thanksgiving, the Whiplash.
There's a
cried so much during Garfield and Odie.
There's a clothes changing montage where John tries on so many outfits.
He comes out as an ape and it doesn't look like a costume.
No, it looks like he just comes out as an ape. But I think he turns into an ape. He turns into Popeye too. He has Popeye forearms. Mm-hmm. It kind of breaks reality a little bit, but it's fun.
And then he gets a little bit Weinstein-y and he answers the door in his boxers.
He absentmindedly forgot to put his pants on.
Mm-hmm.
Liz roasts him for it. Oh, here's another thing.
He yells at Garfield for not telling him he didn't have pants on.
Liz also, okay, so the vet visit was yesterday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It's Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
One day has passed. Liz says to Garfield, who she prescribed the diet to, "How's the diet? I see you're still the size of an aircraft carrier."
Yeah.
What a fucking asshole.
Super mean, but also it's been one day. What do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. And, right, like, try to... give some confidence to Garfield. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Right.
You're looking trim, buddy.
But he's a cat. They can't hear him, right?
They can't hear him. They don't know his internal monologue.
Okay.
Yeah, that's also very, I mean, I know it's the thing about Garfield, but it is weird that like they accept that he'll come in like with two cymbals and wake them up.
Yeah,
but speech is just a bridge too far.
They can say mean things to him and they think he won't understand that.
Yeah, that's cruel.
I actually start to feel bad for the vet here because the vet says then, you know what, like maybe you're like, are like if you're getting like if you're getting messed up or feel like if you're feeling tired or lethargic, and then he does all these different things and you get, and then it just says dementia, and then he gives a dementia face, which is really strange.
Yeah.
And then there's a second inch or having problem breathing, and then Garfield doesn't breathe and he looks like a butt too. There's another no breathing joke.
Yeah, it is.
But I was gonna say that
some perv on the animation staff is like, "Let me draw the scenes where they can't breathe." It's like, okay, Jim Davis.
Maybe we can give it's Jim Davis.
What if your food hole was your waist hole? Oh, God.
Cloacas.
Oh, he's a boss.
We know.
I was going to say that I actually start feeling bad for the vet because she says, "You know what? Maybe we shouldn't. Maybe you'll just do some light exercise." Yeah. And then Garfield kisses her.
Yes.
So I just want to say that she answers the door. John has no pants on.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the weirder things to me, that within on this Thanksgiving day, if you went over someone's houses and their cat came up and kissed you.
Right.
Yeah. And then later, Odie holds her hand.
Yes.
That's how strange that would be.
What a weird Thanksgiving.
If you went over someone's house, their cat kissed you and their dog held your hand.
Well, the way Garfield kisses her, too, he takes both of his paws and puts them on the side of her face.
Yes.
It gives her a full plan.
It's like a full, yeah, full on. And then Odie holds her hand at dinner. It's very strange. Yeah. It would be very, very strange.
That's after napping on her lap, which is very cute.
Odie likes the vet. Yes, yes, it's clear.
So I also thought Odie enjoyed Liz's presence, and I felt for Odie where I'm like, he's in this fucking madhouse.
Right.
With this idiot odor and this bully cat. He's just so happy to have any sort of warmth or kindness.
Right.
Yeah.
So
do you think the vet liked when Garfield kissed her? Do you think she's like into Garfield?
I mean, I could only go by how Jennifer Love Hewitt, who played Liz, the vet in the Garfield movies, feels about Lorenzo Music, who did the voice of Garfield. And I think they dated for a few years.
Right. I think just after John Mayer, that was her next boyfriend, was Lorenzo Music, the voice of Garfield.
Oh, great. What do you want to do? Dating Garfield. First of all, your name's Lorenzo Music, yet you're known for as a voice actor.
How about that?
He should be Lorenzo voice actor. How great is Lorenzo Music, though, huh?
He's great. I love his voice. I love this sort of monotone delivery. It's great deadpan. So John has ruined his dinner because he's a fucking idiot.
And it's so still frozen, kind of. We don't know. Also, the vet sitting silently with the clock ticking is funny while she's waiting for John. That's right. A funny moment.
Garfield brings John a phone and tries to give him, spends a long time giving him hints to call his grandma.
They should have had more fun with the dinner being bad. They just came back in and the turkey was still just kind of the same thing.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah, it should have looked worse, but they just reused the same art.
That's right.
Grandma shows up and she is a spark plug. She's got a motorcycle helmet. She's very cool. She says she'll handle everything.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go. I just like that the grandma likes Garfield is all I was going to say.
Yeah.
Grandma's great. She's spunky.
What were you going to say?
Well, I just, I heard Granny's coming. So I was expecting this old feeble woman to walk up to the door, but this lady rolls up on a motorcycle.
She subverts your expectations of what a grandma can be.
She subverted my expectations of what a grandma could be.
Paul stood up.
She subverted my expectations of what a grandma
could
be.
Paul has taken off his headphones and
she subverted my expectations of what a grandma could
was
be.
Walking around Mitch's living room. He's back at the mic now.
It's okay.
So, are you all right? You okay?
Yeah, I just had my expectations subverted.
So while grandma is fixing Thanksgiving dinner.
With a chainsaw,
John goes in and then just monologues.
Yes.
Monologues to Liz.
Yes. And the joke
about Thanksgiving.
And it's the joke is like he's trying to fill up the time.
Yes. Yeah.
I got to kill time. So I'm going to tell her I'm going to try to make up facts about Thanksgiving.
You know,
do you guys find that funny?
I was just like mansplaining much.
I actually thought that he gave some fun facts about Thanksgiving. This is the area where this is kind of an informative special. I learned things about Thanksgiving.
Oh, what'd you learn? From a Massachusetts boy learning more about Thanksgiving.
I knew everything about Thanksgiving, but he gives some history.
Sure.
He talks about Canadian Thanksgiving and it takes place in October.
He does. It gives Canadian that Mars just gave a thumbs up. I think if you were a child watching this, you might learn something.
I think Mars gave a wrap it up sign.
A middle finger. John Arbuckle, of course, would have a strong connection with the Pilgrims because before he came over here, his name was just James John R.
Right.
And then they went and they pointed at their hat and he went they're like, finish the last name. It's like John R. Hold on a second.
This is the Pilgrims talking to John R.
Yes, you fool. What can't you understand?
If he's a Dracula, he's been alive for hundreds of years.
Yes, okay, the Dracula stuff does come into play.
Yeah.
And then they pointed at the buckle of their hat and he said, okay.
Grandma fixes the turkey with a chainsaw.
You pretending to be a pilgrim in the Cornsgiving sketch is very funny.
Oh yeah,
I was. They put up the video online. Dutton did. He's so cool, and he put online the video of Cornsgiving.
Oh yeah.
But it was a night that I wasn't there.
Really?
I felt real FOMO.
That's a bummer.
Watching that video.
That wasn't the first one, right? Was that like the second one? Because Mookie's not in it.
We did
it
a few times. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't the definitive cut of Cornsgiving. That was the one without the full cast. Thank you for saying that, Mitch. I just sort of blew past that.
That was a nice compliment.
It was very nice.
Yeah.
What do you say? Like, howdy, pilgrim. What do you say?
I come bearing corn or something like that. I don't remember what it is.
It's funny, pilgrim voice.
Yeah. If the Birthday Boys and A Kiss from Daddy, all the sketch group members were there, and I had a cast a pilgrim, you'd be the central casting for a pilgrim.
Whoa, how about that?
I can't think of anybody who
would. Yeah, you're boring as hell, dude. You're like those old pilgrims.
Oh, it's boring to come over on a ship.
Oh, never mind.
And start a country.
I changed. Sorry, Weiger.
In your blessed state.
This is like my Thanksgiving special where I learned Weiger is cool for being like a pilgrim.
We knew that.
Also in that sketch, my dick turned into a corn cob.
Yes, that's true too.
No, that's not 100% true. You also pissed corn.
I also pissed corn niblets.
It depend on what year it is.
Yeah. So anyway, so he's doing this big monologue about Thanksgiving that perhaps has some informative nuggets.
Liz, it still sucks.
Liz falls asleep because she's so bored. Mm-hmm. And while this is happening, Grandma makes a bunch of treats. She makes the turkey into turkey croquettes, which she deep fat fries. Garfield's mouth is watering. She makes the sweet potatoes into layers them with marshmallows, and Garfield loves it. She sets a perfect table and then sneaks away without a word. And Liz is so impressed by the Thanksgiving spread that they just sit down and eat, and she's like blown. She's like profoundly moved.
It also kind of looks like very plain when they show the table. It doesn't look anything too special. But I liked her by the end because she hates John, and I get why she hates John.
Yes,
I thought.
But by the end, she likes John.
She likes him.
Cook the dinner.
That's true.
She agrees to come back for Thanksgiving next year.
Yes. I thought it was very weird. It's like, wow, you guys have a lot of confidence about sustaining this relationship.
Right, right.
And the grandma also says she's going to kick her ass, basically, if she doesn't date John. She's like, if she doesn't date my grandson, let me know, and I'm going to set her right or something.
Well, that was actually one of those moments when I was watching this of kind of like art imitating life, or they're holding up a mirror to my life, because I was like, there's been so many times on Thanksgiving where my grandma tries to get me laid.
Yeah, it's very, we can all relate to that.
When they're saying grace at the Thanksgiving dinner and what they're thankful for.
Yeah. My grandma will lean over to my wife and be like, Paul is good at those pants.
And if that doesn't work, what's gonna?
So during the meal, another full song plays, and it's just shots.
It's a very serious song.
It's just shots of the four of them.
Before we get into that, I know that you want to wrap it up. I know. I can feel you wanted to wrap up the night.
No, I just had the song queued up. Go ahead.
I felt like they showed the grandma's form too much.
Nick, I know you want to wrap up, but I got to get this up.
I guess I think that an older woman can be beautiful, so I didn't mind it.
I think so too. What in the hell? I'm just saying that they were showing, they were really showing it off.
I would just say I feel like there's no age limit on feeling sexy, so it didn't bother me. But
I'm with you,
especially Garfield, who's probably in cat years, like by this point, 49.
Oh yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah,
they played
in 89. He was 49. Now who knows? He's probably.
Oh, he's dead.
Mummy.
He's dust. He's dust. The serious song, Weiger. I know you want to play. We
Here
don't
we
have
go.
To talk about the...
It's a quiet celebration.
The grandma's form. We don't have to talk about. And friends.
A time for counting blessings. A time to make amends. There's a feeling all around you. You can hold it in your...
So that's basically it. And then there's a little coda where Garfield and Odie are both stuffed on the couch and John wants to take them for a walk, but they're too fat. And then there's a little reversal where now they have to put Odie on a diet.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And Garfield becomes a trainer.
And by the way, that brings me to...
That's like what's going to happen with you and I.
Yeah. Eventually, I mean, I am getting fatter. I think eventually we're going to switch.
Slimmer. I'm tiny now.
We're going to do a Benjamin Button and meet in the middle. We'll be the same weight, and then I'll be the fat one, and then you'll be the littler one.
Benjamin Mutton.
There is a difference for the book version of Garfield's Thanksgiving that is notable here. At the end of the book, There is no mention of any new diets. Odie and Garfield simply sit comfortably with their full bellies as John sees Liz out the door, and the three agree unanimously that they have Grandma to thank.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's kind of a more wholesome ending.
I bet the fans of the book were outraged at the choices the adapters made.
It's like if you're watching the Zack Snyder Watchmen and the squid doesn't show up.
John gets a kiss at the end of this.
Yes.
And they kind of do like a cut to kind of everything afterwards. My question is to you two who watched the special, do you think John and the vet got it on after dinner, or were they too full?
Oh, gross.
I think they were too. I think because she leaves, I'm guessing they didn't get it on.
Mm.
Wait, oh, you're saying before that kiss, they'd already got it on.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed that they had eaten a full Thanksgiving dinner and that was their first affection. I don't think they actually fucked yet. Yeah.
Can I say what I think?
Yeah.
I think that they did have sex and they made sure that Odie and Garfield were in the room when they closed the door.
We want you to wash.
That was Odie?
Yeah, that was Odie.
I did like it because I like to imagine John is betrothed to Blondie.
Dagwood's wife.
I like to think John is cuckolding Dagwood.
From a different comic strip.
Yes.
I didn't even realize they were the same universe. That's interesting.
Well, it's a little bit like a Toy Story situation.
Right.
When we put the Sunday funnies away, we go into the other room. The games begin.
Beetle Bailey is cavorting with Hagar the Horrible.
Farside is dancing with Pluto.
Farside is dancing. There were so many other titles
I had to choose from, and I chose the worst comic and then a cartoon.
Mary Worth is sucking off Jumpstart.
Rose is sucking Marmaduke.
Okay, let's rate the Garfield's Thanksgiving out of turkey feathers, I guess.
I feel bad because the one I said actually happened.
he spilled the tea. You're going to hear from Marmaduke, that's for sure.
Boy.
What did we leave off on?
Let's rate Garfield's Thanksgiving. Out of turkey feathers. I mean, nothing happens in this special, but it is like, I like that it's only 22 minutes and I feel like a child would like this. I feel like if I'd watched this as a little boy, which maybe I did and I've forgotten it, I would like it. I'm going to give this 3 turkey feathers.
22 minutes and a child would like it. The opposite of this episode of Doughboys.
We did talk about the special longer than the special actually.
That's true. I was counting down those minutes of the 22.
Oh yeah, no.
At 19, I was like, "God, kill me." How many on a scale of what? How many turkey feathers?
One turkey feather.
I'll give it. Let me think. One.
I'm gonna give it out of one turkey feathers. I'm gonna give it 3 turkey feathers. It's a.
Oh, turkey's happy about that.
Yeah.
Hey, get out of here.
I know that's weird because we had to pull the turkey feathers off to demonstrate how many there were.
Yeah.
That's actually the turkey I'm gonna cut its throat and eat it for Thanksgiving.
Oh my God.
What?
Three turkey feathers. 3 turkey feathers.
You told me I was the next Wally!
You told the turkey that he was the next Wally? Like he was going to be in a Pixar movie?
Oh, the Wally and Irma.
Oh.
You don't know my cat's name?
I know your cat's name, but I thought
Mitch was kind of like, hey, baby, turkey, I'll make you the next Wally in the Pixar movies.
Jesus Christ. Paul Rust, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I liked the special.
Yeah, I liked the special too.
I thought
it was really good.
I had a good time. It was very, nothing happens, but it's fine.
This is like a Seinfeld.
Yeah.
The life of Seinfeld.
Right. Not the show. His very uneventful life.
Well, I have a podcast too. It's about horror movies. If you like horror movies, me and Matt Gourley do it. It's called In Voorhees We Trust, and that's about with Gourley and Russ, and that's about Friday the 13th. And then we do In Myers In We Trust with Geyers and Russ, and that's about Halloween.
So Gourley changed his name to Geyers for the podcast.
Legally, he did change it. It was a whole thing. And I offered to change my name to Geyers just to make it work, but then it didn't rhyme with trust. So
yeah, that would be an issue.
Yep. But we do have Jason on the show.
Whoa, very cool.
My best friend from Quincy, Justin Kiley, loves
very,
that show.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Listens to it all the time.
Hey, Justin, thank you.
Of course.
Shout out to Kiley.
Mm-hmm.
And hey,
who told us that info at the pizzeria during the Pizzeria Regina episode?
That's right.
What info?
We probably shouldn't get into it now.
Oh, okay.
He told us that the Pizzeria Regina oven had Nazi symbols.
Yeah.
On it. Anyways,
let's not get into that. Let's talk about. Let's talk about Doonesbury fucking Bloom County.
I feel like I'm on an episode of The Far Side. What? I feel like I'm on an episode of The Far Side.
Yeah, you know, it has new episodes Monday through Sunday in the newspaper.
Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Many gobbles to all of you.
Gobbles, gobbles. And I know Thanksgiving is a time where we express what we're thankful for. I'm thankful for you guys as friends, and I'm thankful for this podcast.
I'm thankful for you guys as friends, too.
I'm thankful for you guys as friends as well, but not the podcast.
And thank you, Mars, for sitting in.
Thanks, Mars. You're very welcome. Yeah. Thank you.
Great job.
That's it.
That's this week's Doughboy Doughboy.
Don't be quietly going, great job.
Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. That's this week's Doughboy Doughboy.
See ya. Hey, this is Mitch. This is some post-show coda. I just want to say that I was very upset in the special that they never mentioned lasagna, which Garfield loves. That's all. Thank you. Gobble, gobble.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Get the Doughboys Double every week, only at patreon.com/doughboys.